This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Menachas, tape number 3.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Yaakov Tuvia ben Rav Shmuel Halevi Heber, Zecharenu Lebracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding in the middle of Masechta Menachos on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, in the middle of the sugya about tzitzis. The Gemara says a small talus, which is basically small enough for a child, meaning that it's really not roy for an adult to wear. This small talus does potentially have an isra of kelayim if you attached tzemer to pishtim on the tzitzis, because tzemer and pishtim are equal to shanis. A beged, which is even smaller than the size a cotton can wear, is completely putter from tzitzis. A talus, which is extremely long, can be folded over, and tzitzis are put on the new corners. Rabbi Shimon says it's putter, since if they're unfolded, the tzitzis will be in the middle of the beged. Begadim, which are made to cover a person after they die, i.e. shrouds, are putter from tzitzis. The Gemara asks, can you untie tzitzis from one beged and use them for a second beged? Rab says you can't, since you'll be mevaza the first beged. Shmuel says you can. This is similar to the machlekes by Ner Chanukah. Rab says you can't light miner l'ner, while Shmuel says you can. Also by Grera, according to Shmuel, on Shabbos, a person can drag a bed over fresh ground on Shabbos, even though he'll make a chritz, he'll make a furrow, since he holds, like Reb Shimon, that a dover she'ena miskaven is mutter. As long as a person doesn't have chavona to make a chritz, it's considered a dover she'ena miskaven, and therefore it's mutter. But we always paskin like Rav by Yisurim, except in these three cases where we paskin like Shmuel. The Gemara asks, how many chutin do we put in each corner of the four-cornered beged? Beis Shammai says 4, so when it's folded over we have 8 chutin, and Beis Hillel says 3, so when we fold them over, the chutin, we have 6 chutin. Nachman Beis. The halacha is that tzitzis must be loose strands, but not tight strands. If a guy makes tzitzis, the tzitzis are pasul, since the pasuk says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'asu lahem tzitzis. It's b'nei Yisrael who has to make the tzitzis. And the general rule is, if there is a mitzvah that if the guy does it, it's kosher, then if a Yisrael does it, he doesn't make a bracha. But if there is a mitzvah that if a guy does it, it's pasul, for example, tzitzis, then when a Yisrael does the mitzvah, i.e. he ties the tzitzis, the Yisrael does make a bracha. If there is no mayil in town to do a bris, then it's mutter to allow a guy to do the milah. Others disagree. When we make a sukkah, there is no bracha, but we only make the bracha when we sit in the sukkah, i.e. the bracha of leishev basukkah. The rule by tefillin is, kol sheyeshnan bikshira, yeshnan bikshiva. Only a person who has a chiyuv to put on tefillin has the capability of writing the tefillin. The dyeing process for tcheles is as follows. You take the blood from the chalazon, you mix it with samanim, boil them in a pot, and then you put it on the strands of the tzitzis. Tcheles, there is no way to be baidik if the tcheles is real, so one must be careful to buy it from a mumcha, from someone who you know is an expert. Tfilin, you can be baidik, but you still need to buy it from a mumcha, since even though you can be baidik them, but since they have to be done lishma, you still have to be careful. Nachman Gimel. There were a number of special litmus tests created by the Amoraim, which allowed them to see if tcheles was for real or it was just fake. There were many fake tcheles which came from something called kola ilan, a special kind of plant. If a person puts good quality tcheles on his tzitzis, he will have bracha on his business dealings. The Gemara says everyone is chayev in tzitzis, including women, gerim, and avadim. Reb Shimon says women and avadim are pater from tzitzis, since tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shahazman groma, and women are putter from mitzvah saseh shahazman groma. Reb Shimon learns from Urisa Maisai that tzitzis have no chiyav at night, since they're a ksus laila, since you can't see it at night. The mitzvah of tzitzis reminds us of all other mitzvahs in the Torah, as Rashi explains. This is because tzitzis equals begematria to 600, the 5 knots we have is an additional 5, and the 8 chutin is an additional 8. That means 600 plus 5 plus 8 is equal to 613 mitzvahs. Reb Shimon ben Yochai said one who is careful in the mitzvah of tzitzis will be zeche to be mekabel pnei shechina. David HaMelech said in the schus of 7 mitzvahs we do every day, we praise Hashem. two mitzvahs of tefillin, the two batim, four mitzvahs tzitzis for the four chutin, and one time mezuzah. These are the seven. And when David HaMelech went into the Beis HaMerchatz, he was upset since he felt he had none of these mitzvahs around him. But when he saw his milah, he felt better regarding this eighth mitzvah. From here, many achrayim want to bring a raya that milah is not a one-time mitzvah, but rather to the contrary, it's a mitzvah that runs all the time. It's a pu'ula nimshachas. What about wearing tzitzis when one sleeps? The Rama in Or HaChaim, Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Gimel, cites an opinion that says it's not proper to sleep while wearing a talis katan, because it's considered a bizoyan for the mitzvah to sleep on the tzitzis. The Magen Avram, however, in Sif Katan Beis, brings the Arizal, who based on Kabbalah, writes to the contrary, that one should wear his talis katan even while he's sleeping. And he brings a proof from the Gemara we mentioned about David HaMelech. The Arizal argues that the fact that David was only concerned about his lack of mitzvahs while in the bathhouse, and he wasn't concerned about the lack of mitzvahs while sleeping, indicates that he wore his talis katan when he slept. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, anyone who has tefillin on his arm, tzitzis on his garment, or a mezuzah on his door, has a chazaka that he won't be a chayta, since the pasuk in Koheles Dalet says, v'hachut ha-mishulash le-bimhera yinotek. A thrice-twisted rope will not be broken easily. Rameir asked, why was the color of tcheles chosen as the special color for tzitzis? The Gemara answers, the reason that color was chosen is mipnei she-tcheles daimel yam, v'yam daimel rakia, v'rakia daimel kisei ha-kavod. Because when a person looks at the tzitzis and he sees the blue of the tcheles, he'll think of the yam, he'll think of the sea, because the color of the tcheles is similar to the color of the sea. Once a person thinks about the sea, he'll think about the rakia, he'll think about the sky, because the yam is similar to the rakia. Once he thinks about the rakia, he thinks about the sky, he'll think then about the kisei ha-kavod and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the rakia is daima l'kisei ha-kavod. So if a person looks at the tcheles, he'll think of the kisei ha-kavod, and he will be overcome by Yirat Shamayim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asks, why do we have to go through this whole thing about tcheles daimel yam, yam daimel rakia, rakia daimel kisei ha-kavod? Why don't we just simply say, tcheles is daimel kisei ha-kavod, straight out. Say that the reason that a person will have Yirat Hashem and Yirat Shamayim is because when he sees the tcheles, he'll think of the kisei ha-kavod. Why do we have to say, tcheles is daimel yam, yam daimel rakia, rakia daimel kisei ha-kavod? Why this whole memra? Ramesha answered, because when you're thinking about a davar shebikedusha, you don't just jump immediately to the answer. You have to savor it and think it through very carefully. So if you were to just say, tcheles daimel kisei ha-kavod, it would be moving too quickly in inyanei kedusha. Therefore, we have to say it, and a person has to think it through a lot stronger and a lot deeper than just simply tcheles daimel kisei ha-kavod. And he brings a raya from Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai. He asks, how is it possible, the famous question, how is it possible that Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai and they said, Nasa v'nishma, they said, we will do and we will listen on such a high level of Kedusha. And then very close after that, they were over on the terrible Avera of the Egel Hazav. How did something so great and so chashev be followed immediately by something so terrible? Ramesha answers that as chashev as Nasa v'nishma was, Ishachar b'levachar, it was one of the most chashev times in the history of Klal Yisrael. As chashev as that was, there was one chasar with Nasa v'nishma. And that was that the decision to say that happened very quickly. It was something that happened spontaneously. When things which are in Yanei Kedusha happen spontaneously, there could potentially be a chasarim, but it's not standing on a strong foundation. If they would have thought it through a little bit better, it would have stood on a much stronger foundation, and they possibly would not have been over the terrible Isser and the terrible Avera of the Egel Azav. For something to have a strong foundation in Kedusha, it has to be something that has to be thought through very carefully. So too with the tcheles. It's not something that we just rush and immediately darshan on, but it's something deep thinking, it's something deep in Kedusha. Therefore, that's something that we have to think through carefully. That's why we say, tcheles daimel yam, yam daimel rakia, and rakia is daimel l'kisei ha-kavod. Rameir says a person has a chiyuv to make 100 brachas every day. We learn this from the pasuk in Ekev, v'ata Yisrael. Taisus explains that we see from that, since the pasuk has 99 letters, we learn the 100 brachas that a person has to make every day. And Rabbi Chiya said that on Shabbos and on Yontif, since we don't have the long Shemoneh Esreis, he used to be matriach himself to smell besamim and eat extra fruits in order to get to the 100 brachas. Finally, Rameir says that every person has a chiyuv every day to make 3 brachas. Shalayasani Oved, Shalayasani Isha, and Shalayasani Bur, that a person, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't make me into an Amal Aretz. Daf Mem Daled. Where does Tcheles come from? It comes from the Chalazon. This creature lives off the coast of northern Israel. It has a shell. It looks like the sea, and it comes up once every 70 years. This is why it was so expensive, because it comes up so rarely. Regarding Tcheles, I will now read from a paper written by Harav Usher Schechter, who is a Rav in Fairlawn, New Jersey, who wrote a paper on the subject of Tcheles. He writes that the Radzina Rebbe, in 1887, traveled to Naples, Italy, on the Mediterranean coast to investigate the Indian of Tcheles. He visited a stone building at the water's edge, where he descended the stairs inside and came upon a wall of glass which allowed him to view marine life. In this early aquarium, the Radziner saw a cuttlefish, a squid. It gave off a blackish blue ink. He decided this must be the source of Tcheles. However, he had to get the color more bluish, like the sky. So he enlisted a chemist, who after much manipulation used the squid's ink to create a beautiful blue color. The Radziner wrote Svarim to show how the squid fit the Talmudic description of the Chalazon, and he also developed factories in Radzin to create Tcheles. Tens of thousands of his Hasidim began wearing Radziner Tcheles at that time. The Radziner Rebbe is credited with the beginning the search for the true Tcheles, and his Svarim are considered to be the definitive works forming the halakhic foundation for further study. Most Rabbanim and Gedolim at that time rejected the Radziner's Tcheles. Some doubted that the squid qualified as the Chalazon. The Briska Rav, the Beis Halevi, questioned whether new information without a Messiah is acceptable for halachic purposes. Rav Isaac Halevi Herzog, who later became the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel, first was the chief rabbi of Belfast and subsequently the chief rabbi of Dublin in Ireland. While in Dublin, he worked on a PhD thesis on the topic of Tcheles. He began by analyzing the Radziner Tcheles. He bought samples and sent it to leading chemists and dye experts in England, France, and Germany, including the prestigious Department of Studies at the University of Leeds. They all came back with a startling revelation. The Radziner Tcheles is none other than Prussian blue. Rav Herzog then thoroughly investigated the Murex snails, especially since many archaeological finds were already available to him, clearly showing that these snails were used in the ancient dyeing process. He tried to derive a blue dye from Murex snails, but was not successful. This snail gave off a beautiful violet-purplish color. Some in the scientific community maintained that Tcheles was not blue, but rather violet-purple, because they were so convinced that the Murex was the Chalazon. Rav Herzog rejected this idea for many reasons. Most importantly, the Messiah. Every child in school learns Tcheles is blue wool. In addition, Chazal tell us that there was a counterfeit Tcheles in the days of the Gemara. As we mentioned, it was called Kola Ilan. It was derived from a plant source, most widely accepted as the indigo plant. The Gemara says that there was no known method of testing for authenticity of Tcheles. You had to buy it from a reliable source. Hence, Rav Herzog concluded that Tcheles has to look like indigo blue. Rav Herzog concluded that Murex trunculus was not the Chalazon for four reasons. One, he was unable to get the indigo blue color from the Murex snail. Number two, the Gemara says that the snail's body had to look like the sea. However, all the specimens that Rav Herzog looked at were white, with brown bands around them, hardly the color of the sea. Number three, a French chemist told Rav Herzog that the dye from the Murex trunculus snail was not exceptionally steadfast. This did not concur with the Gemara that says Tcheles was exceptionally steadfast and binding into the wool. Finally, number four, he cannot explain the statement in the Gemara that said the Chalazon became available only once in 70 years. This snail is readily available off the shores of northern Israel. Finally, we should point out that recently, a group of scientists in Israel's universities are of the opinion that the Chalazon is in fact the Murex trunculus. They point out the archaeological evidence that it was used by the ancients, and they've also somehow managed to answer a lot of the shilas that Rav Herzog had. Today, of course, we know most of us are not naig to use the Tcheles of the Radziner, and we generally pass like the Briska Rav, who held that the damage to the link of the Mesira was not worth the potential benefit from the possible Tcheles that we may have found. The Gemara says there was once a man who went after a Zayna, but when he saw his tzitzes, he reminded himself who he was, so he wasn't over the Avera. And in fact, she also did tshuva and became a Gieris. A talis which is borrowed, for the first 30 days it is pater from the mitzvah of tzitzes, since it's not kisus cha, belongs to somebody else. If a person lives in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, or he rents a house in Chutz Laretz, it's pater mimezuzah, since it's not your house. But after 30 days, you are chayev bimezuzah. Rashi says that the reason before 30 days is a person is pater from mezuzah is because he's not really settled in the apartment, and there's a possibility that he'll change his mind and move out. Therefore, he won't be required to put a mezuzah on it. The Nesivos maintains that the 30-day grace period is only given to a person who rents an apartment for a period of less than 30 days. However, if there's a long-term rental agreement, then the person who's renting must put on the mezuzahs immediately. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says that this is in fact our minhag. In Igros Moshe Yeradeh Chelek Aleph Simen Kufayin Tes, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha writes that a long-term renter should immediately put mezuzahs on his doors, as the Nesiva says, but preferably he shouldn't recite the bracha of the Kvaya Mezuzah until later, since not everybody agrees with the Nesivos. He recommends that one should remove the mezuzah on the night of the 31st day, and at that point recite the bracha and reaffix the mezuzahs. By the way, a halacha that we mentioned before, that after 30 days when a person is renting, he does have a chiyav mezuzah, that's really a machlokes in Tosfos, whether this is a chiyav midaraisa or a chiyav midarabanan. The Gemara says a person who doesn't put on tefillin is over on 8 mitzvahs aseh, and anyone who doesn't put on tzitzis is over on 5 mitzvahs aseh. And any kayin who doesn't duchen is over on 3 mitzvahs aseh, and anyone who doesn't put up a mezuzah is over on 2 mitzvahs aseh. But if someone does put on tefillin, he will have arichas yamim. Now let's go to the next Mishnah. By the nesachim, by the wine offerings, the lack of the flour and the oil by the mincha is not ma'akev. And the lack of wine is not ma'akev the mincha either. And if all matnois dam are not done, it's also not ma'akev. And the Gemara says, first comes the mincha, then comes the nesachim. The next Mishnah. The parim, the elim, and the kvasim, the lack of one of them is not ma'akev. And if they had many parim, but not enough for nesachim, it's better to bring one par and one nesach versus many parim without enough nesachim. Daf mem hei, the Gemara. On Rosh Chodesh, we should really bring two parim, but if we have only one, that's okay as well, since the pasuk also says par. If a bezdin gives a wrong psak, the tzibur must bring a karban, which is called a par helem davar shel tzibur. The next Mishnah. The karbanei shvuas are not ma'akev in the shtei halechem or vice versa, but the lack of lechem is ma'akev in two of the karbanas, divrei Rabbi Akiva, but Benanis argues. Gemara. Rapuna teaches us that the kohanim have a special schus that they get from the shulchan gavoya. Daf mem vav. By the shlomim of shvuas, according to Rabbi Akiva, the shtei halechem is the ikar. So if they're missing, it's ma'akev. Masha'enken, according to Benanis, the two kvasim are the ikar, so if they're chaser, then it's ma'akev. But all agree, if they are bound together via shchita, if either are missing, then it is ma'akev. The shchita causes this bond, and this is called zika. The Gemara says normally, lechem needs tnufa, it needs waving. But if the lechem gets lost, does the new lechem require a new tnufa? The Gemara says, take. Even though a kayin does not have a chiyav to give machzis hashekel, if he does, he isn't chayta. Others say he is chayta. Finally, kudshim can normally be burnt on yantif if they're supposed to be. But if they just became pasal, for example, violina, then we don't burn them on yantif. Daf mem zayin. The kiftzei atzeretz, where the shchita was done lishma, but the zrika was done shalei lishma, can the kahanim eat the lechem? And our answer is it depends which one you hold is the ikar. Finally, if kachim leave the azara before the zrika, Rabbi Eliezer says there is no kfias, no me'ila, and there's no possibility of pigal, noiser, or tame, since it was yaitze. According to Rabbi Akiva, there can be me'ila, pigal, noiser, or tame. Daf mem ches. If a person was supposed to shecht a toida with 40 chalas, but instead he used 80, Chizkiah says 40 of the 80 become kaidish. Rabbi Yechanan says, none become kaddish, and all remain as chulin. Some of the Rishayim discuss that some could become kaddish via the klal of brera. Rabbi Yechanan says, one is not allowed to tell someone that they can do an avera because they can always do tshuva later. The Gemara says if a kifse atzeres was shechted shalei lishman, or at the wrong time, the karban isn't kosher, but you can make the zrika and still eat it. It just isn't Eila Labailim L'Shem Chayva. But if it happened on Shabbos, you don't do Zrika, since Zrika is Aser Mishum Shvus on Shabbos. If Truma Tameya of wine leaks into Truma Tahira, it all becomes Tameh, and it must be destroyed. But if he can save some of it with Kalim, he should do that. But if he has a Keli Tameh, it's a machlekes if he can use them to save Chulin. Reb Yitzchak came and found they had shechted a kifsei atzeres, shalai kimitzvasa, so he passed them and asked that they be burnt. If a karban needed an animal 1 year old, for example an asha, but you brought an animal which was 2 years old, or vice versa, it's pasul, and it gets burnt. Certain ones don't fulfill the chayva, but can still be eaten anyways, for example an eilas yeledes. The rule is, kol ha-kasher ba-eilas nedava, kasher ba-eilas chayva. The rule is that in general, once something is put up on the mizbeach, even if it doesn't belong there, we still say yim ola lo yered. Once it's there already, we don't take it down. Daf mem tes. If the kohanim had a bad machshava, chutz lizmane, which is a machshava of pigel in the Beis Hamikdash, if it was done b'shaygeg, they're potter. But if it's b'mezid, they're chayev to pay back the owner for ruining his carbon. I.e., this is a hezek she'en nikker, and this is a chiv because this is called a knas. The Mishnah. On Shabbos, Yontif, and Rosh Chodesh, when we have a Tamid and a Musaf, one isn't Ma'akev the other. So if you don't do one, the other can still be brought. And one Musaf isn't Ma'akev the other one. The Tamid Shal Shachar isn't Ma'akev the Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim. In other words, if you don't bring one, you can still bring the other. Reb Shimon says, only if it was done B'Einis or B'Shaygig does this apply. But if it was done B'Mezid in the morning, that they didn't bring the Tamid Shal Shachar, then they cannot bring the Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim. The chinuch of the Mizbeach Hazav is only with Kteres Hasamim. The Shulchan can only be used for the Lechem Apanim, and the Menorah can only be used for the seven Neris. The Gemara. If a Tzibur only has enough money for the Tamid or the Musaf, which has Kadima? The Tamid has Kadima, since it has two milas. Number one, Tadir. The Tamid is brought every day, while the Musaf is only brought sometimes. And number two, Mekudash. The Gemara then discusses what should be done if, aside from the two lambs for the Shabbos Tmidin, there are two more lambs available which can be used either for the Musafim of Shabbos or the Tmidim of Sunday. The Gemara deliberates which is more chashuv, Tadir or Makudish. Should the lambs should be used for the Musafim of Shabbos, since Musaf of Shabbos is more Makudish than the Tamid of Sunday, or should the lambs be reserved for the Sunday Tmidim, since the Karban Tamid is more Tadir? Inasmuch as the Gemara does not conclusively prove either way, Kutr Saladaf brings the Rambam in Perek Ches of Tmidim and Musafim Halacha Chaf, who writes that when the Kohanim are confronted with this quandary, they can do whatever they want. They can either offer the lambs on Shabbos as Musafim, or on Sunday as Tmidim. The following question was posed to the Radvaz in Chelek Dalet Siman Yud Gimel regarding a prisoner who was granted permission by the king to take one day off of leave from prison. Should he take his day off immediately, or should he rather reserve his day off for a more important day, such as Yom Kippur, to be able to daven with a minyan on the holiest day of the year? Based on the principle of Ein Mavir in Al HaMitzvahs, one is not allowed to pass up the opportunity to perform a mitzvah, as we know from the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, the Radvaz ruled that the prisoner should not defer his furlough for a future day, but he should rather take advantage of the first possible day off to daven with a minyan and perform mitzvahs. The Chacham Tzvi, at Simen Kuvvav, challenges the Radvaz's application of the principle of Ein Mavir in Al HaMitzvahs. He adduces proof from our Gemara that the rule of Ein Mavir in Al HaMitzvahs does not apply when the second mitzvah is of greater stature. For example, it's more Mekudesh, or it's more Tadir than the first one. Our Gemara says that if the quality of the Tadir carries more weight than the Mekudesh, that the lambs must be held over from Sunday for the Sunday Tmidim. This clearly indicates that one may pass over a mitzvah of lesser rank for a mitzvah of greater rank. Accordingly, if davening in Shulam Yom Kippur is deemed as a greater mitzvah than davening with a minyan on an ordinary weekday, then postponing one's furlough from prison until Yom Kippur is permissible and is not contrary to the rule of Ein Mavir in Al Mitzvahs. In conclusion, however, the Chacham Tzvi, based on the Gemara in Psachim, concedes with the Radvaz that the prisoner should not defer his leave. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Tzadik Aleph, Amud Aleph, indicates that when a Goyish, a king, promises to release a prisoner, we must be wary that he may retract. Therefore, concludes the Chacham Tzvi, that the prisoner should seize the opportunity to take his leave as soon as possible and not postpone it until Yom Kippur, because the king may at any time decide to rescind his grant of leave. The Gemara says the rule is that nothing in the Beis Hamikdash should precede if a Tamid Shel Shachar. Taisus adds that although a Tamid Shel Shachar must come first, for example, even before Musaf, but if the Musaf was brought before the Tamid Shel Shachar, b'di'evad, it's not Ma'akev. The Gemara says we should have at least 6 Tlaim fully examined, placed in Lishkas HaTlaim for the purpose of the Tmidim. So if at first some are found to have Mumin, we have backups. Ben Bagbag said, we must examine the animals for the Tamid for 4 days before we are makriv them. The same process was done from the Karban Pesach, since both use the Lashon of Mishmeres in the Pasuk. Dafnun, the opportunity to be mitzdarif in the mitzvah of Keteres is lay shchicha, meaning that a kohen may only get a chance to do it a few times in his life. And since it's something which is so chaviv, the odds are very slim that a kohen would be paisheya. Kunjus al-Adaf brings the Pasuk in Devarim that says, after saying, the Pasuk says, Yasimu ktera biapecha, the kohanim will offer kteras, it states, Baruch Hashem chele, may Hashem bless his brigade. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Membava Manalef, brought by Rashi here, interprets this to mean that the kohanim who offer the daily kteras on the Mizbeach will be blessed with wealth. The Gemara here says that since the kteras was instrumental in bringing wealth, it was a mitzvah that was especially cherished by kohanim, and they rarely, if ever, fail to offer it at its proper time. The Mishnah in Yuma says that the avodas of the daily karbanos were assigned to the kohanim through a pious, through a lottery. The Mishnah there says, regarding the pious for kteras, that only new kohanim who never yet had the chance to offer kteras were included in the kteras lottery. The Gemara there explains that since the one who offers the kteras is blessed with wealth, the opportunity to perform this avoda is always given to new kohanim. Therefore, those who already offer kteras were excluded from the lottery. There are several midrashic sources that liken the mitzvah of Sandik, holding the baby during the bris milah, to the mitzvah of Keteres. This is brought in the Birkei Yosef, Yaradea, Simen Reish Samach Hei, and in Bereishis Rabbah, Mem Zayin, Yud Zayin. Based on this, Rabbeinu Peretz, as cited by the Raman Shulchan Aruch, Yaradea, Simen Reish Samach Hei, Sif Yud Aleph, says that one should not extend the honor of Sandik to the same person twice. He says that just as Keteres should not be performed twice by the same Kayan, so too one should not be a sandik for 2 children in the same family. The Nedib Yehuda, however, said that the minig does not appear to follow the view of Rabbeinu Peretz, for in many communities it is customary to honor the Rav to be sandik at all the brisim in the community. Finally, the Gemara says there was once a case where Keteres was brought for a yachid, and on the Mizbeach HaChitzan, 2 chidushim. First of all, it was brought for a yachid, and second of all, it was brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzan. Neither of these are supposed to happen. But this was a special Hayras Shah for the Nisiyim. But normally there is never a Keteres brought by a Yachid, and normally there is never a Keteres which is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzay. The Mishnah. The Minchas Chavitin is a karban brought by the Kohen Gadol after the Tamid every day. The Minchas Chavitin consisted of an Isaran of flour, 3 Lugim of oil, and a Kemetz of Levina, of frankincense. And it was baked into 12 loaves, half of which were offered in the morning, and half of which were offered in the afternoon. The Minchas Chavitin must be prepared in a complex way via baking and frying. The frying was done via a machvas, a frying pan. The rule was that it wasn't brought in half, but rather the Isaran was brought in full, and then half was used after the Tamid Shel Shachar, and half was used after the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim. The Gemara. If a kohen dies at midday, they were not allowed to bring a half of an isaran from his house, but they must bring a half of a full isaran, and the other half must be wasted via leaving them overnight as nicer, and then they're burnt. How do we prepare the machvas? Rabbi Yechanan says, first we bake, then we fry in the machvas. Rabbi Chanina says, first we fry, then we bake. Finally, the mixing and cooking of the chavitin are all done inside the azara, and the melachais associated with them are deiche Shabbos.